Good day to you and welcome to Scribo on Sunday. But as I always say, it doesn't have to be a Sunday. Due to it being a download, you can listen to it when listen to the show, I should say, when you like. And I like that. And I also like that track, I Am the Resurrection. Bold statement by the Stone Roses, around about 1989. The last track on their album, the debut album, which went on to sell 4 million copies. That's a remarkable achievement for a debut album, but the album was worthy. The single version that you just heard, that came out in 1992, right at the height of their fame, I would say. They were a hot band around the late 80s and early 90s, and reached number 33 in the singles charts. And they were a top band, and they carried the flag, didn't they, for the traditional rock and roll combo. And what I mean by that is it was bass, drums, guitar, and a front man. And trust me, around the late 80s and early 90s, there wasn't too many people flying that flag as high as the Stone Roses did. There was loads of electronic music. Dance music was going off in all different directions. And so they carried the flag. And for people like me who like the traditional combo, we adored them. And so did the NME and the music papers, Melody Maker of the day, and championed, got behind them. And they steadily grew into a huge band and very influential and an extremely good band as well. Some of the music press were very critical on Ian Brown's vocals, shall we say. I mean, the guy is not Robert Plant, you know, or Paul Rodgers, or Roger Daltrey by any stretch of the imagination, but he is a great frontman. You can't take your eyes off him when he's on the stage. And the band, as in the bass, drum and guitar, John Squire on guitar, Manny on bass, and Rennie on drums, were sensational. That is some unit, and they've proved that following, you know, that debut album and over the years. And accolades don't come much higher. I read a story once about Pete Townsend going to see the band. He'd heard so much about them, and he stood in the wings, and one of the band, I think it was John Squire, said he kept looking over to check he was still there, and he was after two songs. He thought that was remarkable. And, you know, six songs, he's still there nodding away, enjoying it. And he caught up with him after the show, Pete Townsend and John Squire, and he said to John Squire, "You are one lucky bee," and you know what the bee stands for. And he said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, because your drummer, Rennie, is the best drummer I've ever seen since Keith Moon." That is high praise, and it was worthy. So the Stone Roses were a really influential band, and the Manchester scene followed, didn't it? You know, Oasis and all the bands that came afterwards always cite the Stone Roses as the band that sort of influenced them. That track, say last track on the album, there's a brilliant video of a film they made, Stone Roses Live at Blackpool Empress Ballroom. Bit of a legendary gig. One of them ones like the Free Trade Hall in Manchester, where only about 30 people were sort of Sex Pistols, but about 2,000 people claimed they were there. But there was a few thousand people inside the Blackpool Empress Ballroom in 1991, and the band were on fire, absolute on fire. And it's on YouTube, you can go and have a look. And the instrumental ending is something to behold. And you'll know what I mean when I say the Stone Roses are a great band, really, really good band. Talking of great bands, Steely Dan with arguably the greatest, guitar solo, guitar part in the history of music. I'm sure you know what I'm going to play.
Summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is gonna last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years? Throwing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears?
you're 17. In all the time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean. The weekend in the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine?
Did you guess it? It didn't take too much guessing, was it? Reeling in the Years with an incredible guitar solo. I just think the guitar throughout the song, sonically brilliantly produced, beautiful sound and beautifully played. And it was played by a guy named Elliot Randall, who was a session musician. So he came in the morning, you know, had a cigarette, had a cup of coffee, they played him the track, he went in the studio and he did that, what you've just listened to, in one take. That, my friends, is remarkable. And here we are, what, 40, 50 years on, still waxing lyrical about a fantastic guitar part, guitar solo. And it's not just me. Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols, it's his favourite song, one of his favourite songs. That's quite strange, isn't it? You wouldn't have thought Steve Jones would be liking Steely Dan, but he publicly does. Also, Jimmy Page, the legend that is Jimmy Page, cites that Reeling in the Years as the best guitar solo ever. High praise. The following song, Do It Again, both released in 1972 from their really, really impressive debut album, Can't Buy a Thrill. And obviously it became an international success, deservedly so. Okay, I'm in the mood for some Motown. And if you're in the mood for some Motown, the Four Tops will do.
Standing in the shadows of love, I'm getting ready for the heartaches to come. Treat you right now, baby. Didn't I do the best I could? Not didn't I? So don't you leave me standing in the shadows of love. I'm getting ready for the heartaches to come. Don't you see me standing in the shadows of love? Trying my best to get ready for the heartaches to come. All alone, I'm destined to be with misery.
Shadows of love.
great sound. What a great sound. Motown. Yeah. Often equaled, never bettered. I love that saying. I know Adrian Street likes that saying. He's a local musician. Well, a brilliant musician. I don't like saying local musician. And he often uses that quote. And that rings true of the entire Motown back catalogue. But there was two great examples from the Four Tops. Great band. Why aren't there bands like that anymore? You know, they had so much attitude. Street smart. Tough guys. You know, I know they did all the fiddly diddly dancing and whatever. Mate, they were guys. They were guys from the street. And Standing in the Shadows of Love, 1966. Hit single for them. Top five, I believe. And that was a follow-up to Reach Out, I'll Be There, which was a worldwide smash, number one, top five in UK, sung by Levi Stubbs and lead vocals. And the funny story about that one was that when they recorded it, the Four Tops, Reach Out, I'll Be There, I'm talking about, they didn't like it. They just thought it was all a bit too shouty, a bit too poppy, didn't have their soul, didn't have their style, and arguments raged. And the head of Motown, Berry Gordy, was having none of it. He said, that is a worldwide hit and we're doing it. And it was a pretty heated argument. I've read it on quite a few occasions. And as he was the boss, he stood his ground. And Four Tops were not happy. But they were extremely happy about 6 weeks later when, they say, it went to number one basically all around the world. And you have to say the band, because the Four Tops were the singers, the band, the Funk Brothers. If you've never heard of the Funk Brothers, look it up. And I believe there's a documentary. The band, I say, bass, drums, guitars, whatever. They were the in-house band. Can you imagine being in that band? You know, you're just coming in week after week or day after day and just making these legendary songs that spanners like me are still playing 50 years on. Okay, I'm in the mood for some Robert Plant. Can't go wrong with a bit of Robert Plant. Two Slabs of the Genius.
Walk me out in the morning dew, my honey. Walk me out in the morning dew today. I can walk you out in the morning dew, my honey. Not true.
used to shine, I would still be loving you. When mountains crumble to the sea, there will still be you and me. Kind of woman, I give you my all. Kind of woman, nothing more.
Little drops of rain, whisper of the pain, tears of love lost in the days gone by. My love is strong, here there is no wrong. Together shall go until we die.
My, 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 inspiration's what you are to me. Inspiration, look, see. So today my world, it smiles. Your hand in mine, we walk the miles. Thanks to you, it will be done. For you to me are the only one. All I say, happiness. If the sun refused to shine, I would still be loving you. Mountains crumble to the sea, there will still be you and me.
Yeah, that was Robert Plant, the unmistakable vocal tones, vocal voice, the brilliance of the Led Zeppelin lead singer and obviously a solo artist as well, Robert Plant. His take on a classic tune, shall we say, Morning Dew, a musician's song. I don't want to sound snobby, but it is. First released back in 1962 and written by a Canadian singer-songwriter, Bonnie Dobson, but it really came to prominence when a guy named Tim Rose in the mid-60s recorded it. And he was a bit naughty because he changed some of the lyrics. And not only did he change the lyrics, when he put the record out, he claimed some of the songwriting credits without asking the original songwriter. She didn't bother going through legal eagles. He gave her 75% of the royalties, so she sort of swallowed it. And he was a big player, Tim Rose. He's got a great version of Hey Joe. If you ever got time, type it in, Tim Rose, Hey Joe. And a lot of people have covered that song over the years. And I say that was Robert Plant done in 2002. Nice take on it, but there's so many good versions of that song. Morning Dew, have a look. If you, Lulu, I'll tell you what, Lulu does a cracking version of it. But I went for Robert Plant so I could play two songs, as I like to do in unison. And obviously the second song was Thank You from the all-time brilliant, probably some people's number one album of all time, Led Zeppelin 2, brilliantly produced by Jimmy Page. I've said before that Jimmy Page is really respected, obviously, as a songwriter and guitar player, but he often gets overlooked when you start talking about great record producers. His name is not one that instantly comes to mind, which is bonkers, really, because if you listen to the first three, well, all their albums, but especially the first two albums, Led Zeppelin 1, Led Zeppelin 2, they were miles ahead of everybody else. Put Tommy on and then put Led Zeppelin on, and you'll see why Jimmy Page was like the guy in the studio. Yes, he was aided and abetted by the brilliant engineer Glyn Johns and the great studio, Olympic Studios, but yeah, put it to one side. Jimmy Page could have made a fortune out of being a record producer. I'm going to go down to the waterfront. Example of what the music was theme was like in the 80s, there it is. That was it. Huge sounds, wasn't it? You know, huge, big sounds. I mean, the drum sound of Mel Gaynor, the drummer of Simple Minds, that blew me away when I heard it. You know, it was just like I could have just listened to the drum track, to be honest. Thunderous, I think, is a word that comes to mind. You know, snare drum like a cannon and a bass drum like a tank. You know, just unbelievable sound. And fair play to Simple Minds. They're like no one else, are they? You can't say, oh, you know, they're a bit like the Doors or they're a bit like the Beatles or the Stones or whatever that came before them. No, the Simple Minds are Simple Minds. And I think you have to give them a lot of credit for that. And they evolved, didn't they? They were very indie at first. And great bands made some great songs early in their career as well. But it was that mid-80s. They knew what was coming, and their record company. You got to give their record company praise for putting them in the right place at the right time. But boy, did they deliver. And the following song there, Alive and Kicking, which I think came out a year after of that song. It may have been before, but please don't write in and tell me I got it wrong, because I get more things wrong than I get right. But one thing I'm getting right is that Simple Minds were an extremely good band, and still are, and still are. Okay, punk rock. I'm in the mood for some punk rock.
Tell me
bit of punk rock. The first track up, What I Like About You, the Romantics, American band from Detroit, released in 1977. Hands up, never heard it before. Doing some research and came across it. I thought, what's this? Played it, loved it, and obviously included it in the show. You can't get that Detroit sound, bit like Motown, really. There's something about Detroit where it's just grind. I don't know what it is. It's an edge, isn't it? It's got an edge, the music that comes from Detroit. And the Romantics did have it. Though, got to be honest, when you listen to the track and the backing vocals and some of the chord progressions there, like every band, Romantics obviously wanted to be the Beatles as well. Quite a big hit. Top 50 in the States. Massive hit in Australia, believe it. But I can't remember it in this country. I just can't. I don't, you know, honestly say I've never heard that song before. Much my fault, probably other people have, but I haven't. Obviously heard the Ramones. I've heard that track too often. I Don't Want to Grow Up. And being 64, I totally, you know, I agree with that. Who wants to grow up? We all just grow up disgracefully, really, don't we? We do become better people, I think, when you get older. Is it David Bowie saying you finally become the person you should have always been? I like that. I'm sure that does sound like a David Bowie quote. And true. Sorry, the Ramones, that was written, I Don't Want to Grow Up, written by Tom Waits and Kathleen Brennan. And it was the last single they ever put out from the last album they ever put out in 1995. But it still sounded really 77, didn't it? And funny enough, after the years and years of some blinding tunes, never getting near the Billboard 100, that song, perhaps because the Americans, like me, don't want to grow up, ended up being a top 30 hit for them. And talking about punk rock, I was away. I went to Germany for a week and downloaded some films. And I just saw this film called Good Vibrations and read the little treatment, as they call it. And it's basically about about the story of about a Belfast hero, a local record store owner named Terry Hooley, who in the troubles, in the really the tough years that Northern Ireland and Belfast went through in the 70s, decided to open a record shop up. And I think it was on the Falls Road. It was right in the middle of all the troubles. And it's a lovely story. And it does, and it, you know, I think we can all associate with it, the story, because when back in the 70s and back in the days, local record shops, i.e. an independent record shop or record stall, were the hub. That was where you found out who was doing what bands were doing what. You could sort of put a poster up in the thing, you know, I need a bass player and that kind of thing. And you just went down and you hung out, didn't you? Obviously, these are the days when you could smoke and drink in a record shop. But, you know, they were really like a club. It wasn't a shop. It was like a club. You knew if you went down there on a certain time, you would bump into someone, you'd have a good chat, talk about music, play some music. Real hub, a hub of the community. Give you an example, like Bob's Records, F.L. Moore's. And there was one up the city centre, wasn't there, where Brunches was, nearby the toilets in the city centre. But I can't remember the name of it. And a guy named Biffo, who I played in a band with, he was a great character and he was in the store. And to give you a drift. But the other thing is, I often look back and think, was I really into punk music because of the fashion or because of what it stood for? You know, because I was the right age and punk came out, and obviously everyone else was into punk music around me, and you just think, actually, I was just probably just, as you would do if you liked New Romantics or, you know, them kind of scenes, you sort of jumped on it because everybody else was. But actually, what the film reminded me of was how punk broke down a lot of barriers and gave young people, young musicians, the belief that they could go on and do things. And not only young musicians, the gentleman in question, Terry Hooley, who then formed his own record company. And there's a great scene in it where they're, I think it's the Undertone single, or the first single they've put out, and he's got all the mates in the room folding up record sleeves and stamping the record because they've made it themselves. I did that. I remember doing that with my own record company. So I really associated with the film. And yes, punk rock was important, and I can see now why. You know, I still look back with a lot of fondness on the punk rock scene. Okay, here's a couple of tracks. One you will not know, I'll edge my bets, that you may not have heard of. Let's not be rude to your musical intelligence. And one you will know. I'll talk about them after I play them. Listen to this first song. It is blinding. We'll be right back.
again. All things go, drove to Chicago. All things know, we sold our clothes to the state. I don't mind, I don't mind, I made a lot of mistakes in my mind. Slept in parking lots. I don't mind, I was in love with the place. In my mind, I made a lot of mistakes. In my mind, you came to take us. All things go. For freedom from myself and from the land. I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes.
You came to take us. All things go. All things go. To recreate us. All things grow, all things grow. We had a mindset. All things know, all things know. You had to find it. All things grow.
All things grow. All things grow.
Good songs. Dreamer, obviously the second song by Supertramp from their album Crime of the Century, which was huge at the time. And the single came out, Dreamer, in 1975. And I remember that really well. And I really liked it. I remember it was always played on, we used to get a bus from the village of Simpson to take us to the camp, which was known as Leon School. It was our coldest. We were forever trying to break out. And back in the day, there was only really one radio station. That was Radio 1. And they had, you know, songs of the week or whatever. And they tended to play the same songs at the same time most days of the week. And I just remember getting on the bus to go to school for that period. And Dreamer always used to come on. And I used to sit at the back because, you know, the boys sat at the back, didn't we? I don't think we were allowed to smoke. I don't think we did. I'm not too sure. But and I remember that song for that line, you can do anything, you can be anything. That kind of uplifting. And it always resonated with me. But let's get back to that first track. That was sent in to me by a regular listener who I refer to as Smudger. And he said, you'll like this, Scribo. And he sent it over. And I thought, oh, what's this? And when I played it, I thought, wow, where has that song been in my life? So thank you, Smudger, for sending it in. It's Savan Stevens, American singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentist. Yeah, a bit of a Mike Oldfield, I think, a younger version of Mike Oldfield. He's done some really interesting stuff. But I'm going to do a bit more sort of research on him and obviously play some more tracks for him, because if that's anything to go by, I'm missing a genius, because that is a superb song. Chicago. Go, Chicago, go, yeah, I think is the full name of the song. And superb, great song. Just shows you there's so much great music out there that it's hard to sort of get to listen to them now, isn't it? You know, in the old days when you had the old Grey Whistle Test or Top of the Pops and John Peel, you could pretty much, and you read the NME and the Melody Maker, you could pretty much keep abreast of what was going on. But the world we live in now, I mean, I pick up Mojo and half of Mojo, yeah, there's about 300 albums come out a month. You've got time to listen to them all. And obviously, there's no John Peel. No, I know you've got Jules Holland. He does a fantastic job as well. But it's very difficult to keep up with modern music. So, and I know there's brilliant artists out there who are passing me by. But what can you do? What you can do is play Pink version of White Rabbit, Jefferson's Airplane, White Rabbit, and Rufus Wainwright's beautiful version of Across the Universe. You'll like these.
Caterpillar has given you the call. endless rain into a paper cup. They slither while they pass, they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing me. Jai Guru Deva. Nothing's gonna change my world. 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 Images of broken life which dance before me like a million eyes. They call me on and on across the universe. Thoughts meander like a restless wind inside a letterbox. They stumble blindly as they make their way across the universe. Jai Guru.
Two really good cover versions of two really good songs. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you know I like to do that. I could have easily played the Beatles, Across the Universe, and I could have easily played Jefferson Airplane stroke Grace Slick's version of White Rabbit. But I thought they were good. And Grace Slick of Jefferson Airplane, agrees with me, because she's gone online, or gone on record, I should say, saying that's the best version of White Rabbit she's heard since they did it. Understandably, not as good as mine, but really close. And yeah, and I do like Pink. I think she's a brilliant artist, brilliant musician. Seen her live. My young daughter was my youngest daughter Faye was into Pink big time as a teenager, and I took her to, we all went as a family to go and see Pink, because, you know, I wanted to encourage her. I was really hoping my daughters would go into music, but neither of them did. I'll probably put them off more than get them on, turn them on. But I was really impressed with Pink. That's just way back. This is, yeah, 90s, early 90s, or late 90s. And you could tell then that she was mustard, and she's proved to be a very strong mustard, should we say. Rufus Wainwright, don't know too much about Rufus Wainwright. He's an interesting character from what I've just sort of briefly read up. I mean, he's done some Shakespeare sonnets. That'll please a certain Kaz Trix, Dame Kaz Trix, I should say, of Stony Stratford. But he has got that voice. It's got to be one of the most beautiful voices I think I've ever heard. So fair play, Rufus. All right, we have to say happy birthday to Mick Jagger, don't we? 80 years young. He looks fantastic, doesn't he? Oh, I'd love that hair, you know, and his body, I think. And he's, what, you know, a lot older than me, should I say, and a lot older than most people. And he's a remarkable man. I think he's someone we've all taken for granted, really, Mick Jagger, because he was a bit of a, you know, we used to do their own impressions of him in the 60s, and he became a sort of bit of a brand. But actually, what a guy. What a guy. Probably, I would say, the best manager of an act, because they've had, Rolling Stones have had managers, but nah, Mick Jagger really, not even Keith Richards, has controlled that band from probably the mid, about 66, 67 onwards, and he has done a remarkable job, you know, because they are probably the biggest brand stroke band in the world. Not I'm going to say they're the best, but they are still the biggest, and that comes from really clever, astute management with tons of strategy and always looking ahead. And brilliant guy, brilliant singer. And he is the front man, isn't he? I know Elvis was the, you know, the first to shake the hip, shake the legs, and, you know, become that, but he took it to a different level. And I mean, all of them followed on. David Bowie, Roger Daltrey, Robert Plant. You look at them all, they've all got a bit of Mick Jagger in them, because he gave them the confidence to say, you can do this. I could go on and on about Mick Jagger, because I think deservedly he needs a lot more praise. Mick, let's pay homage to Mick Jagger. Happy birthday, Mick. Two great songs from him, Not Fade Away and Sympathy for the Devil.
Hope you guessed my name. But
is the nature of my game. Stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was a time for a change. Killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank, held a generous rank. When the blitzkrieg raged and the bodies stank. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. Oh yeah. I was puzzling you with the nature of my game. Oh yeah. I watched with glee while your kings and queens fought for 10 decades.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you get my name.
But the Stones have got me all fired up. That was brilliant, wasn't it? Sympathy for the Devil, Not Fade Away. And I say, happy birthday, Mick Jagger. And I say, got me all fired up. Let's finish the this show. I don't know if it's been shorter or longer or wider or thicker than previous shows, but this is the last two songs I'm going to play for you. And I'm going to go out with some rock, proper rock. Stray, I Am. This is from their forthcoming album that's being released in September. I think it's called About Time. I'm sure it is. I think if you look it up, it's called About Time. And a lot of people, like me, are really looking forward to listening to the album, because this track, I Am, is a really good song. And it, you know, it sets the tone for, I think, what might be Stray's best album, actually. Best album, because Del Brummond's last solo album was astounding. Absolutely in my top 10. In my top 10 albums. Absolutely brilliant. Not just because I like him and I know him, but the album itself, the way it was produced and perform, is brilliant album. If you haven't listened to White Feather by Del Brummond, the album, do so and buy it, because he's such a good guy. And then following Del will be the American rockers, Dead Daisies. A good band, really good band, as you will hear, and it's their song Long Way Home, and it's classic rock. Once again, thank you for downloading the show, and thank you for those who've sent me some songs to play, and feel free to do so. You know, you can get hold of me somehow. I'm on social media, or just drop the station a line, but there's a way if you need to get to me. Stay safe, and yeah, just stay happy.
Sometimes I have dreams, funny how they seem so real, and then I awake to find the visions in my mind have left me jaded. I am a lion, I am a tiger, I am a rock and roll survivor, and I'm telling you right now, so that you know, I've been a loser, been so abused, but I've just had to let it go, otherwise I'd lose my mind, and that's for sure. Waking from my sleep, thoughts that bury deep within my soul. Water on my face, helping me to wake and get me moving. I am a lion, I am a tiger, I am a rock and roll survivor.
stuck in the middle and wait.